This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vests, righteousness, and hold tight to your steering paddle as we race through the water of the Word of God. Okay, well, last week we talked about how Satan deceives and how his demons also deceive us. We talked about the Antichrist, and we talked about the false prophet and how mixed in with truth is also lies, and we have to be very careful of that. We have to target that and basically glean out what we need to know that's truth. Now, I want to bring up another conflict that we have with the world in terms of understanding and believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the media. And I have to read this article because I couldn't even believe it when I read it, that it was actually published in the New York Times. But I'm going to read it to you, and you can decide for yourself what is going on here with the media, with the liberal media. The New York Times says America must give up God. The New York Times has marked the holy weekend of Easter by attacking Christians and demanding that America get rid of God. The left-wing newspaper published an op-ed on Good Friday arguing that faithful Christians should eliminate their belief in God, titled, "In This Time of War, I Propose We Give Up God." The article claims that God is responsible for war and violence and for the oppression and suffering, and suggests that people stop teaching children about him. Author Shalom Auslander, who was disillusioned about his upbringing as a religious Jewish community leader in New York, argues, God, it seems, paints with a wide brush. He paints with a roller. In Egypt, said our rabbi, he even killed the firstborn cattle. He kills cows. If he were mortal, the God of the Jews, Christians, and Muslims would be dragged to The Hague. And yet we praise him. We emulate him. We implore our children to be like him. Perhaps now, as missiles rain down and the dead are discovered in mass graves in the Ukraine, is a good time to stop emulating this hateful God. Perhaps we can stop extolling his brutality. Perhaps now is a good time to teach our children to pass over God, to be as unlike him as possible. Killing God is a good idea I can get behind. And this is how liberal media is viewing God now and viewing Christians. You can see that, and that's why they have almost a complete grasp and control of all media. It's almost all liberal. There's a few things that are neutral, and if you dig deeply, you can find some truth out there. But there's the media is controlling the liberal approach, and the liberal approach is, hey, you got to hate God. And this is one of the things that really brings out exactly what the media stands for, this article I just read to you. And also, you see the same thing happening in President Xi Jinping of China. Okay, his name, his first name is Xi, and I want you to remember that. But anyway, what happened recently in his country is villagers started removing 624 posters showing Christian religious sayings and images and replaced them with 450 images of Chinese President Xi Jinping. The move, which is still small in comparison to the total picture, is really evident because we see in China what happened before with Mao Zedong, and what happened with him is his picture was replaced and he was worshipped as a god, and it seems like that's what Xi is trying to do again. So we see religious persecution in China. It was brought out, too, when they had the 2008 China Olympics. People didn't even comment on the fact they have forced abortions. They basically execute dissidents. They have religious persecution, and it doesn't matter what their religion, whether it's Christian or Muslim or anything. They want the religion to be worshiping the leader, Xi himself. And we see there's also a lot of Christian persecution in the Middle East. These are all things that we can see. And it's interesting because one of the things that I thought about when I thought of his name, Xi, okay, the term Xi, is an abbreviation for the letter Xylon, which is a beam from which anyone is suspended, basically a cross. In fact, if you look at the fact of the cross itself, its name, and one of the things you see as this whole concept of the Greek anatomim, is that you have the chi, which is just an X, and then you have the XI, which is abbreviation for Zoon. The X is Chi, which is abbreviation for Christ, and then you have the stigma, which is represents being nailed to something, being nailed to the cross. And that's exactly what the crucifix is. Okay, it's a picture of Jesus being the Chi, being basically put on a beam and being nailed to it. The XI and the stigma, all these things point the same thing. One of the interesting things about it is, if you add up the X and you add up the XI and the stigma in geometrics, you end up with the X is 600, XI is 60, and the stigma is 6. It comes out to 666. You see, I think what is being shown here is the crucifix itself shows Christ being crucified, but it doesn't show him being resurrected. You know, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So it's not just his death, it's also his resurrection. Now, this particular piece also is demonstrated again. It's just amazing to me of how you see this, and we're going to deal with this. It's going to take me an entire lesson to deal with the mark of the beast and what it means and what this 666 means. But here's some other things that are kind of interesting. The name of Allah, and the name of Allah in the Islamic tradition is an XI, a CHI, and a stigma. Again, we get this 666 number. And if you look, and you know, there's other things, you know, Nero Caesar, they all thought he was the Antichrist. In fact, today, a lot of people believe that the Book of Revelation has just already happened, and Nero Caesar was actually an Antichrist, because if you add up his name and the letters in it, you end up with, yes, 666. And also, if you look at, and people have brought this up before too, if you look at what the Vicar of the Son of God, a Vicar of Christ in the Catholic Church is, you add up those letters and you get 666 too. Now, it doesn't mean that is definitely going to be true, but I have to say that one of the things that you can see in these letters and adding up to that particular number is something you need to throw in the mix and think about. Again, you don't want to go too far with this, because in Mark 7:15, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. So you wear a crucifix, that's not going to defile you. Okay, but it's what comes out of him. Those who that can defile the man is what is at issue here. If any man have ears, let him hear. So what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of our heart of the man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, and so forth. And also, if you think about it, if you look at the cross and you think that Jesus died but didn't rise again from the dead, that's a problem. That's where something's coming out that shouldn't be, because we know that our belief in Christianity is the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things that I wanted to also mention is how the media has changed. Television, for example. I remember growing up and seeing shows about the family. There were a lot of shows about the family. Leave It to Beaver. You know, you had the father and the mother and the two boys. And then Father Knows Best. And then you had the Donna Reed Show. You had Ozzie and Harriet. It had Bill Cosby Show. All these were extolling the values of families. You don't see any shows like that anymore. In fact, you see nothing but dysfunctional families. In fact, one of the recent movies that came out, the 40-year-old version, made fun of a person that would stay a virgin for that length of time. So we see that this is an issue. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's in Genesis 2:24. We see God created a family. It's a structure that he created, because functioning as a family is exactly what God wants us to do. In Colossians 3:18 to 25, we see, wives, submit yourself to your husband as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. These are all things that the family responds to, and what God wants us to act on, because that's the way it works. It works. Families work. And that's why God set it up. Now, I want to get into this issue that is happening now in the news. And I'm going to start with something, again, out of Egypt. One of the first gods that we'll be talking about when we get to that section. I'm going to be taking a look at the Exodus, and just be in Exodus, what you see is the plagues, the 10 plagues. Well, each of them are represented by a god. God is judging the god, okay? And we see that repeated again in Revelation. We're going to do an analysis of that one for one. The blood in terms of the turning the River Nile into blood, and then we see that exact same thing happen in the book of Revelation. Well, anyway, the first god I want to talk about is this girl, god Hapi. And Hapi is kind of an interesting god because it was Andronymous. And Andronymous means that it's both fully male and fully female. It had breasts, it had a vagina, it had a penis, it had testicles. And it was both, okay? And we see, I recognize immediately when I saw the word Andronymous because I, as a marine biologist, used to teach about Andronymous life cycle of fish. They live in salt water and they come into fresh water to spawn. A good example of that, of course, is the salmon. And we see these freshwater. And by the way, it's kind of interesting because one of the things that happens that I learned, I worked for, I don't know, about 7 years in the summer teaching a gifted and talented program for the National Aquarium in Baltimore. And one of the things that we took a look at was the different types of fish, Andronymous and Catadromous. And what it is one lives in freshwater and one lives in saltwater. And so, for example, eels, they live in freshwater, but they go to saltwater to spawn. So you can see there's this duality, and that's why they used that word anadromous when they did that. Now, one of the things I noted also when I worked at the aquarium, they did something kind of unusual. When they caught fish in freshwater, okay, what they would do is bring them to the aquarium and they hold them in what they called the separate room. They didn't want to put them in the aquarium. They could be carrying diseases. They could be carrying parasites and so forth. So they kept them in isolation for a period of time. And what they would normally do is if it was a freshwater fish, they put it in salt water for a short period of time and then take it out. That didn't kill it, but it killed all the parasites that were on it. And then if it was a saltwater fish, they put it in freshwater. A freshwater fish, they put it in saltwater. And it basically was a technique they used to get rid of the parasites. Now, why am I bringing all this up about the anadromous and the Hapi and that was God that was both male and female? It's because of what's happening in our country, which is becoming a big political issue. And that's what happened in New Jersey. In New Jersey, the public school gender and sexual orientation mandate was created. That means kids K through third grade, and they put this out on April 13th, 2022, starting this fall, so in September when the kids go back, the 6 and 7 year old children that attend New Jersey public schools will be taught lessons related to sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, I've heard comments on some of the stuff that's in this, and there's stuff like oral sex, anal sex. They're going to be teaching this to 6 and 7 year olds? I can't see that. So anyway, Florida, and that's where I live, and it's really, I'm really happy to be here because here in Florida, our Senate passed, and now it was signed by the governor, the Parents' Right in Education Bill. So that bars teachers from engaging kindergarten through third grades in discussions over sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill advanced through the Florida state, and now it was signed by, of course, our governor. So we can see this is an issue. Now, what was interesting about it is right after Florida did this, we had outrage of the bill by the Walt Disney Company. They took the Parents' Right in Education Bill prohibits Florida educators from teaching about sexual orientation or genital identity in kindergarten through the third grade. Well, Disney came out and was angered by this. Even the Biden administration was upset by it and said, we're going to be keeping a close look on this. Okay, now what in the world? Why would Disney ever get involved in this issue? What's the? I can't see why they would even be considered until you look at what in 1998, you have a quote from the then CEO, Michael Eisner of Disney. And he said, he told homosexual leaders that a whopping 40% of the entertainment corporation's employees were gay. Okay, so he's basically, because they're gay, a majority was, they pushed him to come out against this. So one of the things you see in terms of this gender, what you see in terms of homosexuality is you see that there is a push towards basically exposing people to this concept. And it's happening in the schools. And one of the things you can easily see, if you look at 10 years ago, you can see that people who identified themselves as LGBT were about 3% of the population of America. Now it's 7%. It's growing. Why? Because they're teaching that in schools. This is what Florida is trying to stop. I don't believe children at 6 and 7 should be taught gender differences. In fact, actually, pretty much when a child is 2 years old, he understands the difference between males and females. Okay, now, one of the things that was mentioned is Disney production coordinator Alan Mark says that his team is committed to exploring queer stories and has created a tracker to make sure they are creating enough gender non-conforming characters. This is their policy. In other words, Disney has gone woke. Okay. Now, one of the things that I wanted to bring up is the fact that why shouldn't we teach this? Well, first of all, I think they're too young to understand it and so forth. But also, you have to understand something else. The homosexual population was judged by God, I believe, in 1984 when the AIDS epidemic exploded. Do you realize 36 million people have died of HIV since the start of the HIV/AIDS pandemic? And 37.7 million are living with HIV, and around 680 have died just in the United States alone. Now, what's sad about this is we're teaching that this is normal, that this is something that the homosexual lifestyle is normal and should be taught in the schools, when I think it should be up to individual parents as to what's going to be taught in the schools. But one of the things you see is that even after they have the HIV, and now we know we have the antiviral therapy, ART, and the infections are declining and so forth, but still 37,000 people a year are newly acquiring AIDS. That means the people who have it are transmitting it. And 70% of them are doing it through male-to-male contact. Heterosexual, about 25%, just minor in other groups. And one of the leading groups that are passing it on are the African Americans, 44%. Whites, 27%. Hispanics, 23%. Now, I'm going to come down a little bit hard on Walt Disney, and I have to admit that I've been there. I've been to Walt Disney World and so forth. But one of the things that have happened that brought my mind back to thinking about is things that have happened in the programs they've produced, the cartoons. One of the ones is The Little Mermaid. If you look and go in and type in on your search engine, The Little Mermaid and the sexual connotations that happened during that film is when the Little Mermaid's getting married, the guy who's marrying him, the minister gets a giant erection, okay? And you can see that, and you can read about it if you want. You see in another one, in the Beauty and the Beast, you see at one particular part, all of a sudden, an arm is connected with a man's nose, and it looks like a giant penis, okay? If you look at the Lion King. If you look at the Lion King's face, you can see exactly a woman with her back to you that has a thong on. If you look at the movie The Rescuers, which included little mice, you look and there's a window that appears, and in the window is a naked woman. In Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you see that when she is knocked in a little car accident over, you see her bottom, and you see she's wearing no underpants. Okay, and the worst one in Bladed is Mickey and Minnie are hugging each other, and Mickey is holding his hat, and his hat is a giant penis. You can go online and see all this stuff. This is not something I'm making up. I got it all offline, and you can see this as one of the controversies that are basically hidden in the movies themselves. You don't notice them. And I can remember when I was a kid, my parents and my aunt and my cousins, we would all go to movies together when a new Disney movie came out, and they were good. Pinocchio, I loved it. Alice in Wonderland was not one of those. And one of the things that happened is we were in the movie theater, and after we had been to see things like The Song of the South and Pinocchio and Cinderella and all these things, we're sitting there, and I'm a little kid. I don't know anything. And all of a sudden, Alice in Wonderland comes on, and it hadn't been on for 20 minutes. And my mother got up, and she shouted out to this whole theater, how can you parents be here with your children and see this trash? Well, I'll get into that in a minute. But you can see that there is a way, and this was discovered in 1956. James Vicari had a movie called The Subliminal Experiment. They started putting things for hidden in the movie about a desire to eat popcorn. And lo and behold, people wanted to go get popcorn, and they didn't even realize that it wasn't out there and with a big popcorn bag showing how good it was. It was hidden in the context. Okay, Vance Packard wrote a book called The Hidden Persuaders. Okay, we see that now in commercials, there are hidden messages embedded in it. We don't even notice. In in-flight motion pictures, they put subliminal ads in the movies that you're watching. Subliminal Seduction is a book written by William Bryan, talks all about this. Background music, even in supermarkets, is geared to give you subliminal desires to buy things. Warner Brothers admitted that it's used sub-visuals in the movie Exorcist. So we can see that this is a common practice that is used. And these subliminal messages are all over the place. We don't even recognize they're there, but they're influencing us. They're actually in auditory ways, in visual ways, in olfactory ways. In fact, probably one of the best examples of this is what they do in casinos. In casinos, you have new clocks. You have a carpeting that is very to keep you alert and awake. It's all jumbled, and there's no recognizable patterns. They actually pump higher levels of oxygen to keep you active and gambling a longer period of time. There's odors in all the machines to get you to relax and to not concentrate on the money you're losing, etc. So one of the things you see is, you know, these ads and so forth are all geared to influence us. And if you look back at that movie, that I didn't understand why my parents went out of their way. My mother stood up and yelled out, "How can you let your children see this?" Well, now when you look back on it, you can see that in Alice in Wonderland, you see the cocaine is actually being promoted. You see her sniffing. You see magic mushrooms. You see marijuana. You see the hookah-smoking caterpillar. You see LSD. You see speed. You see nicotine. All these things, even such things as the Mad Hatter gives makes light of syphilis. You see the Queen of Hearts and teaches children that if our animals don't talk to you, there's something wrong with you. All these things are in that movie that was produced by, of course, Walt Disney. So enough of that. But, you know, again, it's not what comes into your mind. It's what comes out. So you have to be aware of that. And, you know, just because you went there and you experienced these things, yeah, they had a negative influence on you, but you still control how you receive it. Now, I want to also bring up some of the things that you can see in music. Okay, in fact, just talking about Alice in Wonderland, Jefferson Airplane in 1967 in their album Surrealistic Pillow, they have a song, White Rabbit. Now listen to this song. "One pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small. The ones your mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall." And if you're going to go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell the smoking hookah caterpillar has given you the call. Call Alice when she's just small. Now, that's one. That's the White Rabbit and Jefferson Airplane. Okay, how about this one? Highway to Hell with AC/DC. Okay, no stop signs, speed limit. Nobody's gonna slow me down like a wheel gonna spin it. Nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, pay my dues. Paying in a rock and roll band. Hey, Mama, look at me now. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Okay, again, in our music are hidden messages. It's not so hidden, actually. And then in Stairway to Heaven with Led Zeppelin, there's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows that the stores are all closed. With a word, she can get what she came for. Oh, 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 she's buying a stairway to heaven. We know we don't earn a way into heaven. We don't buy a way into heaven. It's a gift from God. And then how about Billy Joel, and he had a song, "Only the Good Die Young." It certainly made fun of all Roman Catholics. "Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. Your Catholic girls start much too late. But sooner or later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. They showed you a statue and told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. But they never told you the price you will pay for things that you might have done. Only the good die young." And that's one of his songs. And another one. The Doors, okay, and you remember Jim Morrison, what happened to him? No time, and his song, "Light My Fire." "There's no time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire." Okay, you know what happened to him? He had his fire lit, and he died in a bathtub. Okay, and then one of the things that also you can see in the Beatles, and it's funny because I used to like the Beatles for a while, and then they came out in 1967 with Sgt. Pepper's, and in that they featured a character called Crowley, Aleister Crowley. And of course, he's been called, you know, a Satanist, the most evil man that ever lived. And you can see that many of the singers have used his power, so to speak, in their songs. The Beatles have him featured on the Sgt. Pepper's. Iron Maiden has the song Killers, which features him. David Bowie does the same thing. Ozzy Osbourne, same thing. All these different things. And even you can see something interesting, because I always wondered, how in the world did George Bush, the first George Bush, the one who only had one term, how in the world did he lose to Bill Clinton? I mean, you have to wonder why that ever would have happened. And I had to research that, because one of the things that he used was he identified himself with music from Fleetwood Mac. Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. That was one of the big things. People started to sing that. They got all moved by it. You've got to remember, at the time, George Bush was one of the had probably the most successful presidencies of ever. We had the economy was doing great. We had defeated Saddam Hussein and restored Kuwait. But here's a man that's running against somebody who's got the most successful presidency ever, and he ends up beating him. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One of them was Ross Perot was running too, and he got 19% of the vote. He took a lot of the Republican votes away. But also, this music that he used constantly, every time he had a rally, from Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. Also, he was one of the first presidents ever to admit to smoking marijuana. Also, one of the things that also lost him the election was something that people don't realize today, but one of the things that President Bush wanted to do then was to give a $3,000 credit for people to take their kids out of public school and use it for private school. Well, the Department of Education and the liberal teachers got together, and he lost all that vote completely. So we see that, and you know, we see the tricks that advertisers use. One of the things they use as a trick to get you deceived is in looking at pancake syrup. They actually don't use pancake syrup. It doesn't look that great when you pour it in a commercial. They use motor oil. And to get the steam coming up from behind a coffee, they take a tampon and they soak it in water and put it in a microwave, and then it gives off the steam, so it looks like a nice steaming hot cup of coffee. They use glue instead of milk when they're advertising cereals. They use brown shoe polish to color hamburgers. They use hairspray to make fruit appear much fresher than it really is. They use antacids to create bubbling and fizz in a soda. They use mashed potatoes instead of ice cream when they're advertising ice cream. So we can see these things. Spray deodorant also makes grapes look a lot fresher. So we see a lot of these deceptions. And one of the things that we can see is these things are all used by the advertising agent. They want you to basically get to desire things you don't need, okay? And they want you to think about things that you don't need. And they want you to spend money that you don't have on these things to impress people that don't even care about you. So think about that. And I want to end with this. What happened to we have a new Supreme Court justice, Judge Jackson, and she was being interviewed, and she was being interviewed by Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, and she asked her a simple question. She said, listen, Justice Ruth Bader said, and during a decision that she made, the physical appearance between men and women are enduring, and the two sexes are not fungible. Okay, and what happened here, she then said, oh, I don't know that case. Well, she had one of those pauses before she answered. And then they asked her another question. Do you understand? Can you tell us what the difference between a man and a woman is? And she said, no, she doesn't understand. Now, why is that? We'll discuss this next time when we get on as to why she didn't want to answer whether or not what the definition of a woman was. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.